grab your pitchfork, light your torch, and get ready for inciting a riot. Conventional thinking has been warned, because we're gonna gather, and we're gonna march, and we're gonna blow its fucking house down.
Hello, rioters, and welcome back to Inciting a Riot, the podcast. I would be your left-wing, dirt-worshipping host, Firelight. Today, the day that this episode comes out, is November 2nd, the Day of the Dead, Dia de Muertos, which is a holiday that is celebrated in Mexico. It is celebrated here in the United States, but it is a holiday that's really special to a lot of Latin American countries and other places around the world as a day to remember lost loved ones and a day to honor the cycles of life, death itself. But please do not take my word for it. This is a holiday that a lot of us here in the United States get wrong, especially those of us with privilege, like me, white privilege, and a lot of folks that, you know, like to sort of cherry pick a little bit here and there and borrow from other cultures from time to time. But I'm really excited because this year Llewellyn put out a book in their Little Books series. It's Llewellyn's Little Book of the Day of the Dead, which is by Jaime Girones. And I am so excited because the author himself did an interview with me, and I was pretty excited because I'm so pumped about this book. When I got to finally read it, I was just blown away by how much love and care and attention this book was given. It is chock full with information, with stories and recipes, and even some really beautiful conversations around cultural appropriation and how to appreciate rather than appropriate the holiday itself, and how to maybe incorporate the themes of the holiday into a more personalized celebration that fits you and your practice and the area that you live in and your culture, instead of just saying, oh, you know what, mine now. So Jaime actually zoomed in with me all the way from Mexico City, so I was pretty excited that we got to do this intercontinental or intercountry, whatever, interview. I'm really excited. It's a great interview. Happy Dia de Muertos. I hope that you enjoy this interview with Jaime Girones. Jaime Girones, thank you so much for being here on Inciting a Riot. I'm so glad that you were able to make the time to be here today.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm very excited.
I am so excited too, because I have in my hands one of the most beautiful, like physically, aesthetically beautiful books I think I've seen in quite a long time. And you wrote it. It's Llewellyn's Little Book of the Day of the Dead. And that's your name right there. So congratulations on the new book and all of the success.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's beautiful. The designers at Llewellyn made a great job.
It's truly, I mean, it's, first of all, I love the size. It's a gorgeous, fun, I mean, it truly is. I love their little book series. It's a great book, but it is so information packed. But before we dive into the book, I want to talk a little bit about you. So for folks who don't know you or your work, tell folks a little bit about you, your path, and how you got here.
Of course. My name is Jaime. I'm 32 years old, and I'm a witch. I identify myself as a Wiccan, and I've been on the Wiccan path since I was 13 years old. And I have a column, I'm a writer, and have a column at The Wild Hunt, which is a website for pagans, witches, polytheists, minority religions. I have a column there where I speak every 2-3 months about the local pagan and witchcraft community. And I wrote the book.
So, you know, I'm so glad that you did, because I think that for a lot of people, I mean, you know, Day of the Dead, Dia de Muertos has really started to have a moment, especially here in the United States in the last, you know, 5-10 years or so. But you open up the book in such a smart way, because the way that the Day of the Dead has been treated in the United States is sort of as though it's an extension of Halloween, or as though it's Mexico's Halloween celebration. And I'm really glad that you opened the book to sort of dispel some of those myths. So One, why did you feel it was important to have that frank conversation? I mean, a book like this, you might assume you're going to open it up and it's going to be a cutesy little, you know, book of just recipes and traditions and symbols and things like that. And sure, that's in there, but you spend quite a lot of real estate inside the book talking about appropriation versus appreciation, clarifying terms and things like that. So why was that important to start the book with upfront?
Okay, so first, because it's a very diverse celebration. It doesn't have like a single word to celebrate it, but it is celebrated differently across regions and in different indigenous populations and areas, you can find different ways it's celebrated. So when talking about the Day of the Dead, first I wanted to it to come from a respect point of view, but I wanted to open the book with the difference of appreciation and appropriation as it's, at the end, a Mexican or Latin American holiday. So I think that when I wanted to share to the world what the Day of the Dead is, some people that are not from Latino origin may wonder, what do I do with this book? Or why are they sharing this with me? The fine line between appreciation and appropriation may differ from people to people. So what I describe there as the difference is totally my opinion. But I wanted to first explain my point of view that at the end, we all have ancestors and we all have dead loved ones. And that's like remembering, honoring them. It's a universal activity. On the other, I believe that the Day of the Dead can teach you a lot of practices, but also how to approach that activity, how to honor your dead loved ones. And no matter where you live, no matter your origin or your practices, your beliefs. Also, it's the Day of the Dead celebration. Ironically, for me, it's a living tradition. It keeps evolving. Its origin is syncretism between the Mesoamerican cultures, then the Spanish and Catholicism, and through its histories has been evolving and changing. And it continues to evolve also when crossing borders, it meets other celebrations like Halloween. Or within the borders, we also have a lot of Halloween here in Mexico or in especially in urban areas because of the influence of, you know, our neighbors. For me, it's normal for celebrations or traditions or cultures that they meet, that they, you know, have a relationship with each other. But I think that it's important to understand the differences. I don't see a problem with other people even celebrating the Day of the Dead or using symbols or setting up an altar. I think that it's important to know the origin, the context, where it comes from, and also being coherent. If you are celebrating the Day of the Dead, like having also respect for where it comes from, each culture, the Latin and Mexican community in your area. And that's why I started the book that way.
Absolutely. And you do a beautiful job of reminding people that context is king when it comes to appreciating culture or taking from culture. You know, there was an interesting meme that went around talking about, you know, open practices and open cultures and things that things might be open to come and enjoy and learn from and things like that, but suddenly taking something and throwing away all the context around it, you know, people painting their faces with a calavera and ignoring the history behind that. You know, I know that queer people have sort of similar feelings when it comes to, you know, pride celebrations. People want to come to pride and people want to take part in all the fun parts, but they don't want the rest of the responsibility of, you know, being there for queer people when they need it. You know, there's a whole history and context behind symbols and things like that. So I appreciate that you spend a lot of time and you do it right at the beginning of the book before people dive too far in. Discussing context and discussing, you know, the ways in which people should use this book. What do you hope that people do with a book like this. You know, there's a lot of discussion right now about what an open practice is and what a closed practice is. And is any of this even a practice when it's more of a cultural celebration and, you know, all of that kind of thing. So what do you hope to accomplish with the Day of the Dead, the little book of the Day of the Dead?
Okay, so first I would love people to know more about the Day of the Dead and where it comes from. Now that is like more popular everywhere. And that will be the first thing. The second, my book also includes activities, recipes, rituals, meditations, and there's an open invitation for people if they want to try. But at the end, I also tell in my book that it must come from the heart. It must come from something that has meaning to you. And I would also like people to, when learning more about the Day of the Dead, understanding the context on why this is a celebration. And it is a celebration that comes more from joy, even when there's a nostalgic tone about it, and how our relationship with death is in Mexico, which is like very special, very different for some people. And we laugh with it, we name it, we make jokes about it. It's like part of our language. We name death in different funny ways. We make a character out of it. And I even include a part in my book when I ask, as an exercise, for example, I ask people to name death or to draw death. I talk a lot about from the perspective of the celebration, but also from my personal perspective as a witch, how death for me is a transformation and why. And at the end, I think that I do not intend for people to consider death as a transformation and celebrate it, but maybe just ponder what death and life means to you as a reader and how's your relationship with death. And maybe from the book, you get other ideas and ways you can celebrate and your dead loved ones and your ancestors with your own context. And through the book, I give some examples on how you can do that. For example, the cempasúchil flower, the Mexican marigold flower, is very common in the celebration, in the Day of the Dead. And you can see it everywhere in Mexico City and everywhere during this season. I talk about why is it important. It's strong yellow, orange color, and it has a very sweet smell. This is why it's used to call your dead loved ones, guide them home. And it's most importantly, it's very abundant during this season. It's the harvest season of the flower. So when I speak about using flowers to honor your dead loved ones or your ancestors, I speak about looking these similar characteristics in flowers that are abundant in your area. So it's an example of, in my book, I do not intend for you to go and grab cempasúchil flowers. I give you like an idea of where it comes from and how you could use flowers in your altar or in your offering.
That's one of the things that I really loved about the book, because you invite people to you invite people to dabble, you invite people to partake, but to partake in a way that feels organic to them. You invite people to make a version of the Day of the Dead that feels right to them. Even in building their own altar, their own ofrenda, you invite them to personalize the flowers, but you go a lot further than that. I want to go back real quick though to the concept of death, in Mexico, in Latin American cultures. Why do you think that it's so important in the culture itself to treat death the way that it is treated? Because I know that for me, here in the United States at least, and the culture in which I was raised, death is just the worst of things. It's feared. It's, you know, I know that in a lot of Christian cultures, there's an attempt to sort of make funerals and things a celebration of life, but death is an incredibly somber thing. And we only ever think of death as a finality. But from what I understand, especially in reading your book, there is so much more to it. Death is a psychopomp. Death is a deity that assists you in having an easy death, an easy transition. Death is a joyful thing. Death is a, you know, you, like you said, you laugh with death. Talk to me a little bit more about the importance of death.
Answering your first question, I wouldn't be sure, or I wouldn't be like comfortable enough to say a specific reason. I believe, and that's a personal thing of me, that it comes from way back the way our Mesoamerican cultures looked at death, and they included it in their celebrations, and there were festivities associated with it. And so I think that it was passed a very unconscious way, generations after generations, sure. And that became like part of us. But I also believe, and that's also me, that during our history, we've also have a lot of death and tragedy. Like, our culture was built with violence and death, and it's a way for us, or it has been a way for us, to deal with it. If you're afraid of something, and you laugh at it, or you dress it and put colors on it, it makes it easier to process it.
I love that. So let's dive into the ofrenda, the altar, which I think a lot of people are more familiar with after seeing Coco. I think that movie did a lot of good to spread the word of Dia de Muertos and, you know, the ofrenda and sort of some of the traditions around that. So talk about building your own altar on the Day of the Dead.
Yes, of course. First, a quick note about the movies. Yeah, I think they have, I mentioned them a bit on like the modern history of the Day of the Dead. And I think they've done, I think they are the reason why the celebration has become so popular. But a fun fact is that it's not even outside of Mexico. It has also kind of changed. The movies have changed the celebration within Mexico. For example, we have a Day of the Dead parade, and some people think this is an ancient tradition, but it is not. It comes from the movie James Bond, Spectre. The movie opens with a Day of the Dead parade, and it was filmed here in Mexico City. And because of the movie, it became a thing, and it became a yearly tradition. But before the movie, there was no parade.
I love that. This sort of like ancientizing of modern traditions.
Yeah, but replying to your main question about the altar. Well, yeah. I first want to say a quick comment that the Day of the Dead is a very diverse celebration. And in my book, I mentioned examples on how it's so diverse. And you can find different ways of it is celebrated across different regions. But the thing more common, or the activity that is more common across areas, especially in urban areas, is the altar. And the altar is also the main part of my book because of the same reason. But the altar is a place, usually at your home, the day of the altar, where you are going to be remembering and honoring your ancestors during their celebration. It's like the place of the party. You're having a party, but your guests are your dead loved ones, and the altar is like the venue, the location. But the altar is not like just having the items there. The meaning and the value of the activity even comes from preparing the altar, and like that's a big deal. And in my case, for example, I first get together with my family, and we gather pictures of our dead loved ones, and we talk about our dead loved ones, and we look together at photo albums, and we tell stories, or I hear stories from my father, or if someone I don't know that appears, I don't know, with my grandfather, I'm like, who's that? And he tells me, oh, he was his friend. And so a big part of it is also like the preparation, and it's where you think of who are you going to include in your altar. And I think also of people that have died recently, and they are like my guests of honors or people that I'm going to include this year. That will be like the first part of it, thinking who you want to include and preparing for the altar. And then the next thing will be you set up the altar, and setting up the altar is a ritual by itself. What I usually do is I first cleanse my space, and then I physically set up like a table in my house, and then we put flowers of the cempasúchil, and I sprinkle also petals from my home to the altar, because that's a way of guiding your dead loved ones. And in some areas, they do that from the cemetery to the home. Here, it would be hard for me to do so in Mexico City. And we put offerings in the altar. And we put the pictures, and around the pictures, the thing is that we put offerings in the altar. So while you're putting the pictures, you are kind of remembering your dead loved one or your ancestor, and you're calling them, you're welcoming them to your home. And when you're putting the offerings, you're sharing what you have with them. So common or main items that go in the altar, the flowers, water, candles, and food, drinks. And you also, like, there are specific things that you put for a specific dead loved one. For example, my grandfather loved wine and he used to smoke a lot, so I always leave for him wine and cigarettes. And if there's children in your altar, people put juice or toys. And you put in the altar also like offerings that person used to enjoy during their life. And the altar usually is they're set up during the celebration. And during that celebration, like, you go to that place, to the altar, and you speak with them, you remember them. It's like the center of it all.
Was there anything that you learned while researching the Day of the Dead that was new to you, news to you, or that gave you a greater appreciation of the celebration itself?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. So when I was thinking on how investigating on how to explain why we celebrate, I think that was the hardest thing to do, because as I said, it comes from syncretism. It doesn't come like from a single place, and it's a mixed history. But the one thing that I knew for a bit, but that I expanded a bit in my knowledge, is that I called it like the basis or the foundation or why this is celebrated. And it will be that during this time of year, which is the harvest season, the indigenous communities celebrate this abundance, this harvest, and shared it with their dead loved ones, with their ancestors, and they thank them for this time, for this harvest. So when going deeper into that and investigate a bit, first, this is about the indigenous communities in Central and South Mexico, and is specifically related to the corn or maize agricultural cycle. And the thing that was like a highlight for me is that this agricultural cycle is divided in two halves. The year is divided into halves, the dry season and the rain season. And around end of April, May 1st, is the start of the rain season. And that's like a counterpart of the Day of the Dead. And it's when the Catholic celebration related to it, it's called La Fiesta de la Santa Cruz, or the Festival of Crosses. And it's where they're going to plant the seeds of the maize, and they ask their ancestors and their loved ones, to the divine, but their blessing for their harvest and to have a rainy season and the cold rain. And the counterpart, which is the Day of the Dead, is when this harvest happens. So they thank those ancestors and those dead loved ones for the harvest, and they come from a scarcity part of the year to an abundant part of the year, and they want to share that abundance with the ancestors that and on with the dead loved ones that made it happen and that helped with this harvest. So it's a cycle, and for me it was like I kind of knew about it, but only like the surface. But when going deeper on that subject, it was a highlight for me because first, as a witch and as a Wiccan, I was like, oh, I can see similarities with my Wheel of the Year. Like, but also because I think I understood better the concept of death as a transformation and death as a cycle, because when talking about the counterparts of the year, like, you wouldn't have one without the other. And each of them is a consequence of the previous one.
So I am interested because you are a Wiccan. Are you incorporating Day of the Dead into your Wheel of the Year? Is it a separate cultural celebration for you that you do outside of Samhain? Do you celebrate it instead of Samhain? How do those intersect for you?
That's an interesting question. And I would say yes and no. But of course, let me clarify. I included a bit in my Samhain celebration. For example, in my Samhain altar, I include Tempasuchu flower. I include a sugar skull. And I include some symbols of this of the Day of the Dead. At the same time, when in a part of my Samhain celebration, when it comes to the contact with my ancestors, well, there's a lot that comes from how I approach the how I approach the Day of the Dead. But having said that, even though there are some symbols that I include in my Samhain celebration, aside from Samhain, I also celebrate the Day of the Dead. And so previous days before, I had set up my Day of the Dead altar, and a few days later, I'm still celebrating the Day of the Dead. And like, that's a separate part, an independent part. So it's a complex answer because I do mix them a bit, or they are related a bit, because I see them as part of the same part of the year. Harvest season, the veil between the worlds is thinner, but I celebrate them at the end with different activities or rituals. But it's very common to see in pagan or witchcraft communities in Mexico to see these Day of the Dead symbols, including Samhain rituals.
So let's talk about some of the traditions, because you go into some things that we might be visually familiar with, but might not know the cultural importance of, or histories, traditions, things like that, and how they interact with the actual celebration itself. So let's talk about, from your book, in sort of the section on setting up your altar and some of the celebrations and things that you could do. So calaveras. What are these? The sugar skulls. What are those? What part do they play? Where do they come from? And what do we use them for?
Calaveras, or also known as sugar skulls, are literally skulls made out of sugar. So they are both decorative and edible. You can eat them. So, and they also are colorful. The eyes or the mouth are with colors, bright colors. And you can find them everywhere during the Day of the Dead. And what are they? Represent death, or the ever-present death. They also have a meaning of representing your dead, specific dead loved ones. Or they even sometimes are given like gifts, and they represent the person you are giving it to, which is weird or strange to explain. Like, for example, when I was in kindergarten or primary school, and my school, the founder of my school, the director, used to make a huge Day of the Dead altar. And she would include one sugar skull for every student of the school. And she will name the sugar skulls with all of our names. And of course, we were not dead. But we would go to the Day of the Dead. We would go to the Day of the Day altar, which was a very, like, huge, a very long aisle, and we will see our names there. In the altar, in the day of the altar, they represent death. They also can represent your loved ones. And I usually include a few with like smaller size representing my dead loved ones, and a bigger skull representing more death as a deity, as a spirit, as a spiritual figure, or as a divine figure. And where does it come from? Well, some people say that it comes from Aztec representations of dead. One of them called the Tzompantli, which was a huge, long wall made out of skulls. But there's a whole debate of where they come from. And I usually, the sugar skulls I put on my altar are usually just left as any other food for my dead loved ones. I don't eat from them. But some people, and of course some children as well, like they buy them to eat them. Or they're like gifts or, like a dessert in this season.
What do you do with the edible items once you're done with the altar? What do you do with your altar once you're done with it?
It goes with the food and the everything edible. It goes to my like organic disposals.
Okay.
Yeah.
The papel picado, that beautiful cut paper that I think a lot of movies have made quite famous in the last few years, but it's part of that sort of brightness of the tradition.
Yeah, it is. And I forgot to mention it earlier when describing the day of the altar, but so the papel picado, it's a colorful piece of papers cut with scenes or figures or representations, and they are usually skulls or calaveras or the whole skeleton. And these are usually put on the day of the day altar, but you can also see them hanging in like in streets or in government offices and in the entrance or in schools, they're a big deal in the celebration, and they basically represent air. And it is said that when you usually leave them hanging either in your altar, in your home, or in the streets, but I usually also put them on top of my mantelpiece on my altar. But when they are hanging, it is said that when they move with the air, it means that your dead loved ones are arriving. It is like a way of noticing, oh, they are here. And the Aztecs used to use a bark tree for their rituals and in their temples. But the tissue paper was introduced until like the, I think, 18th century from China. And it comes, the papel picado from the state of Puebla, where some workers that used to rock with this tissue paper started doing art with it.
So I want to know, because with a lot of cultural celebrations that have a spiritual aspect to it or spiritual origins to it, Day of the Dead, Christmas, Samhain, Halloween, there's a lot of different traditions that are just as much cultural, maybe even more so these days, cultural than they are necessarily spirituals. And I appreciated that in your book, there's a lot of parts where you say, even if you're not a religious person, there's something that you can get out of celebrating the Day of the Dead. So for folks who might be maybe spiritual but not religious, or maybe even just kind of agnostic or atheistic in their beliefs, do you still think that there's something that they can get out of the celebration?
Totally. I think the celebration goes beyond the practices or beliefs of the person. Of course, the majority of people a lot of people that celebrate it are Catholic, and it's because the majority of the population in Mexico is Catholic. But sure, it's a celebration that goes beyond your beliefs. And one example I give is that 4 years ago, we had a huge earthquake in Mexico City, a very strong earthquake. And lots of building collapsed. And one interesting thing that I saw, the earthquake was around September. So like weeks later, around this season, One interesting thing that we all notice is that outside these buildings, on the sidewalks, people built or set up Day of the Day altars for the people who had died in these buildings. And it's something that was not organized by the organization or by a specific person. It's like the community, the neighbors or the people that even if you do not just live nearby that building, that you were shocked and touched and in a very deep way about the event, about the collapse, about the people that died there, that they wanted to show something or express something and left an offering there. You can see Day of the Day altars and symbols everywhere. It's not something that only people with a religious context do. Like you can see it in government buildings, or if you go to a library, maybe they set up a Day of the Day altar dedicated to death writers, or a music school and to musicians. It's something that goes beyond your beliefs. It's part of our culture. So for us, it's like it's something that goes beyond the beliefs. And also because our culture is very magical, even when they are Catholic, they are very magical. But replying to your question, I believe that anyone, no matter their beliefs, can have an approach to the Day of the Dead. First of all, because my personal point of view is that there's a difference between your spirituality and and how you identify as well as your religious practices and how you approach that. And for me, your spirituality, just as we explore our sexuality and how we identify ourselves, maybe, with our spirituality, we can also explore it. And it's a very personal thing, and it goes beyond the name of the religion. It's you beyond your physical self. And when you think about you beyond your physical self, it takes to other questions and subjects like others, non-physical self, including your dead loved ones. And as I said earlier, at the end, we all have dead loved ones and we all have ancestors. So how we relate to that goes beyond our practices or our religion. And the Day of the Dead can help. You can learn or you can ponder some questions from the Day of the Dead. For example, when setting up a Day of the Day altar, I give even meditation or a ritual on after setting it up, what to do on like how to welcome your ancestors or your dead loved ones. But if that's like not an interesting part of you, I totally understand it. But the part of thinking who you want to include, looking for pictures, and for a time of the year, making time during your year for one single time of the year to remember them, giving space and time like to that frame of mind, I think for some people can help processing some feelings and having time to express their love. At the end, for me, the Day of the Day is the activities or what comes with the Day of the Day are expressions of love. And in this case, it's love to people that are not longer here physically or not alive. But that expression of love goes beyond any religion.
It reminds me, the way that you're talking about it reminds me of that old quote that I don't even know where it came from, but what is remembered lives.
Yeah.
we say that a lot in pagan circles, but what is remembered lives. And I love that so much because I think that there is a component that you can take out of it, even if you're a skeptical person or even if you're a person who isn't sure where you fall on the spectrum of belief in an afterlife or in deities or in spirits or anything like that. I think simply remembering people is a good thing to do. Remembering people, honoring those that came before you, loved ones, family, both blood related and found family, chosen family. I think that it's a beautiful thing to continue to honor people after they're gone. And in a way, it keeps them alive, even if you're not sure that it keeps them spiritually active somewhere out in the ether or something. You know, I think that there is something, and I think that you do a beautiful job in your book of sort of bringing that up a little bit, is that there's a space for everyone in this celebration, and that the act of remembrance itself is a beautiful, sacred thing.
It is, yeah. And I think also, I wanted to comment a bit what you said. It's about sacred, the sacred part of it. And mm-hmm. I don't see it sacred because it's something spiritual at the end. I see it sacred because remembering our ancestors, our history, our dead loved ones, where we come from, also makes us ponder the question on what we are leaving as a legacy. How that legacy lives through us, expresses through us, continues living through us, but also how we are, what we're doing and what we're leaving as a legacy. And it also is a cycle. And for me, that's the sacredness of it.
What's your favorite part?
Of the book, of the celebration of everything?
The celebration. What's your favorite part? I know as a kid for Halloween, everybody's favorite part tends to be trick-or-treating. But as you get older, the celebration changes and you find new things to appreciate. So at this stage in your life, what's your favorite part of the Day of the Dead?
I think it's the preparing for the celebration and literally the part of setting up the altar. Like, I was raised in a Catholic family, and just as you said, like, it was a big thing setting up putting up the mm-hmm. Christmas tree, you know. And as my siblings and I and my parents and my grandmother, we would all be together and we would put each ornament, and it was like a happy moment. And similarly, it has always been the Day of the Dead for us. The part that I spoke about of looking at pictures and talking about them, and it opens sometimes like wounds or sensitive subjects or pain or grieving, but at the same time, I think has been a healthy thing to do in my family, because like we had a space and a moment, a safe space and a moment to do that. And setting up the day of the Day of the Day altar with my family, and like I have like a lot of memories with them. One of them, there was one time when I was with my father, and my grandfather had just died like a few years ago, and it was like one of the first times my grandfather was included in the altar. And so we were sprinkling that the Day of the Day, the cempasúchil or marigold petals across the altar. And while we were doing that, at some point we're like grabbing other things, and we saw the altar, and like there was the number 13 formed with the petals. When we had sprinkled them, it suddenly was, there was a 13 number, which like, I don't know why 13 exactly, but my father thought, my grandfather died on the 13th of January. Maybe that's it. And I was like, maybe. But I don't know. It was just something natural and mm-hmm. like, I don't know, like organic in my family. It's not something like spooky, like creepy. It's something like, welcome. Yeah, a sign and our reply would be, you're here, welcome.
And that's, I love that.
My favorite part, I think.
You know, and I think sort of a full circle moment in the conversation. I think so many people begin learning about magic itself around this time of year because it's sort of a safe place to start engaging with some of those conversations, like, I had a spooky experience when I did X, Y, or Z, and that gets them interested in magic, and it gets them interested in learning more. And I think that your book will help people do that with sort of the magic found in the Day of the Dead, this way of honoring death, this way of making friends with death. So, you know, for folks that are new to the celebration, that are coming to it for the first time, that want to honor it, but want to honor it in a respectful way. I know that we've talked about appropriation and appreciation, but what are your recommendations for people that want to engage with the celebration, but are doing it from outside the culture of ownership?
So first, read a bit and understand the background, the context, and what each symbol we use represents. Of course, you can do that with my book, but...
you can, and it's great.
But at the end, the important part when learning what each symbol represents is not for you to use that symbol. If you use that symbol, it's okay. But the most important part is to understand why what that symbol represents or why that item is used, and to find something that for you represents that concept.
Be inspired.
If you use something that doesn't have meaning to you, there is no point of it. There's no use of it. And I think the most important part, it's for any spiritual practice, or here in this celebration as well, or this festivity, is that for it to come from the heart. Why? Because your dead loved ones are there, and that's the key. When you remember, you do it from the heart. And as an example, when I speak of other symbols related to death or the day of the death, and for example, I speak about the butterfly and the monarch butterfly, and how in this day, in some areas in the central part of Mexico, it is when the monarch butterflies arrive around this time of year, it is seen as a sign that the spirit, the loved ones, the ancestors are arriving. And so the monarch butterfly, it's also a representation of this holiday, a symbol. It also, of course, represents death because of the butterfly cycle, and it's linked to transformation. And I also speak about the skull and how it represents death, like we did earlier today. But if you have another symbol that for you represents death, and I don't know, it could be almost anything, but if you, I don't know, like a leaf, a plant, I don't know, anything that for you represents death, it works better for you if you want to approach your dead loved ones and ancestors, and you want to set up an altar for that purpose, to honor your dead loved ones or to connect with the death part of your spiritual world. Then it's better to use that symbol than the ones you read about.
Do you have anything in particular that you're looking forward to doing for this year's Day of the Dead celebration?
Last year was a sad year, well, for mm-hmm. everyone, of course, but talking about the Day of the Dead specifically, the cemeteries were closed and we were not able to get together with our families to celebrate it. So this year, I'm excited to get together with my siblings and my parents again and set up a Day of the Dead altar together and look at pictures together. And that part of me excites me because of the context of the previous year was the pandemic. And like cemeteries were closed. People were not able to go to the cemeteries for the Day of the Dead. And that only happened, I think, in the 17th century when people were getting drunk in cemeteries and they closed the cemeteries for that reason. But like it has never happened in recent history that people literally cannot celebrate the Day of the Dead. So it was more like a personal and individual thing here. And a big part of the season is also going through Mexico City and seeing everything colorful and decorated with the season. We have this long avenue in Mexico City called Reforma. And at this time of year, it is full of cempasúchil or marigold flowers. So you can see the one, like, the longest or one of the longest avenues with a full of like yellow and orange colors, and the smell, of course, around it smells like the Senpasuchu flower. And yeah, I think a big part of it is it's an individual, but also a group or community celebration. And it's an individual because individual because you celebrate also in a personal way at your home with your altar, with thinking of your dead loved ones. But it's a community celebration because if you go outside of your home, it is celebrated around you as well. And last year we were not able to do that much, and so this year I'm excited to do that at least a little.
I'm excited too. I hope that I get to come experience it in Mexico one day. My husband and I really want to go down. My husband's from Mexico. I think you and I have talked about that. And I really want to go. We were going to go. We had plans to maybe go down last year, but of course we had made plans in 2019 and then the pandemic happened. And so we couldn't. And then this year's bad for it as well. So who knows? Maybe next year we'll fly down to Mexico City and stay with his family. Uh-huh. Go see everything. So I'm excited for that.
That would be great.
Yes, I'm pumped. It's beautiful, and I want to experience it firsthand. The Llewellyn's little book of the Day of the Dead, everybody needs to go get it, because it's one, it's just an aesthetically gorgeous book, but two, it is such an information-packed, carefully, lovingly, beautifully written book about this amazing holiday, this amazing celebration. Thank you so much for writing it. For folks that want to learn a little bit more about you, keep up with you, where can they do that online?
I'm more active on Insta and Twitter. On Insta, you can find me as Jim Magical with double M and CK. And on Twitter as with my name, Jaime Girones, but all together. I'm also active there.
Well, perfect. Jaime, thank you so much for being here on Inciting a Riot. I am so pleased and pumped that I got to have this conversation with you. And once again, congratulations on the book.
No, thank you so much for the invitation. I was very excited about being here. I listened to your podcast, so it feels very nice to be here. and also, thank you for reading my book and for thinking of me.
Well, thank you so much. It's a beautiful book, and I'm so happy to help more people find it. Thank you so much. Well, rioters, that's going to do it here for us today. Thank you so much for joining me on this Dia de Muertos riot. And thank you once again to my very special guest, Jaime Girones. His new book is out now everywhere books are sold. I do encourage you to go get it. It is wonderful. If you like this show and you want to support it, there are a number of ways to help. You can consider liking and sharing this show on social media. You can also rate the show 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and leave a review, even just a couple of words, an emoji, something. It helps boost the show up in the algorithm and ensures other people find it. So if you're listening to this on your iPhone and you haven't rated the show 5 stars yet, just go do that. Help keep the show free and producing on a regular basis by chipping in whatever you can. You can buy me a coffee, which is a one-time monetary donation of your choosing, or join my Patreon on a monthly basis. Patrons receive additional audio and video content, as well as archived episodes, a private Discord server, and monthly chats with special guests. You can do that at patreon.com/incitingariot. One last thing, of course, cannot forget, you can order my new book, The Dabbler's Guide to Witchcraft, everywhere books are sold. If you'd like to email me about this show or any other, the email is firelight, F-I-R-E-L-Y-T-E, at incitingariot.com. That is also the home for the show notes and pretty much anything else riot-related, incitingariot.com. If you'd like to reach out on social media, I'm pretty much at incitingariot everywhere. Anyways, that is all I have for you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm going to leave you, but as always, I will leave you with love and light, firelight.